everyone, Stuart Watson here with news of another bonus podcast for you. We've been spoiling you of late. Dean Bowditch, Bartosz Białkowski, and now General Manager of Football Operations, catchy title that, Lee O'Neill. I've been up to Playford Road to speak to him about all manner of subjects, from Terry Butcher's new role at the club, the January transfer window, and the contract situation facing the likes of Cole Skuse and Andre Dizel. So without further ado, I throw you over to the interview itself. Enjoy. Okay, Lee, thanks for having a chat today. We'll get on to transfers and all that sort of stuff in a minute. But first, I just wanted to talk to you about Terry Butcher, who I believe you're trying to find a role for him and utilise his knowledge and his passion for the club.
Yeah, he's obviously an icon of the club and been in, he lives in around the area. He's been doing stuff for the club in the commercial side of things. He's obviously been active in the media as well. He has obviously a lot of knowledge from playing and managing. And from my point of view and Brian Klug's and the manager's point of view, we thought it would be a really good idea to have him and a few other ex-players as well come in and be a little bit more actively involved in the day-to-day operations, and particularly the academy, where we feel that he can help with the players, with some of the coaches and some of the parents, some of the things that we're now facing on a daily basis that he has a lot of experience in.
So a bespoke role, I think you said to me when we spoke before, but there will be an element of coaching within that, will there?
There will do, yeah. I mean, we have a number of other ex-players, you know, that have and do work within the academy, and we kind of work, you know, they do have other commitments outside of the club, so we try and work on something that's around them and utilising their skills as best as possible. But yeah, it is a bit bespoke. It's not a 9 to 5 in, you know, 7 days a week, but it's something that I think will benefit both the club, the players, the staff here, and the supporters, I think, of the area.
How important is it to keep that connection with those great players of the past here? I think there was perhaps a spell where some of those players felt that they weren't valued as much as they should have been, but it seems in recent years that you've really sort of reconnected with the legends of this football club.
Yeah, they've made it very difficult for the likes of me to ever aspire to getting you know, where they did, because they set the bar so high for the football club, and rightly so. You know, they deserve all the credit they get for a number of years to come after this. But for me personally, growing up and seeing these people in and around the club, and you know, watching them whether it be live or on TV when I was growing up, is something the club needed to be more actively involved in. I wouldn't say they were never welcome up here, but we maybe haven't been as open in inviting them up here. And that's something we're trying to do more of, just because they have a wealth and a breadth of knowledge that we feel is important, especially in our younger players. So that's an area that we can help. And I think for them, it's for them to feel, you know, part of their club as well.
Yeah, and just finally, if anyone's got passion for Ipswich Town and the badge, it's Terry Butcher, isn't it?
Yes, I think there's many of photos that probably show that as well. But, you know, he obviously speaks. He's got a great relationship with the manager. You know, they speak a lot. And I think he understands the club. He understands where the club is at the moment. And like I said, fundamentally, there'll be some players at this club that are, you know, going through some development pathways that he could help with from a defensive point of view. So he's out there this afternoon working on some individual development plans with some of our young defenders. And I'm sure that's what, you know, he wants to do, is to get out on the grass and work with some of the younger players. But that doesn't mean he won't work with some of the older players. You know, well, I say older players, but players in the first team, Luke and another, James Wilson, for example, on some of their defending aspects that the manager may or may not ask him to get involved in some of them aspects too.
Fantastic. January transfer window ended up being a quiet one in terms of the business done, but I'm sure it wasn't a quiet one for you. In terms of the hours that were put in, there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes. I mean, you've mentioned it in the interview you've done with the club that there were bids received for your players. So let's start with that. I know you probably won't want to go into specifics of names, but you've kind of alluded to the fact that there were £1 million bids, multi-million pound bids. Is that fair to say?
I think they say that there was significant bids for players, and I can understand why people would want to know what players they are. And what clubs were involved, I said, but also you know, the ramifications for that are bigger sometimes to for the club to deal with. So it kind of maybe takes a player's focus away from being here and understanding what that looks like for our pathway. But it was busy in different aspects. You know, there was a lot of inquiries about all of our players, not just the young players or, you know, the older players. There was a lot of inquiries about all of our players, and some stopped at inquiries and some were a little bit more formal that went, you know, a little bit more formal approaches. So it was busy in both aspects. I said right from the start that we weren't necessarily looking for too many options, because we tried to focus on that in the summer and really look at, you know, the squad that we thought would be up in and around the top end of the league and assemble to compete, to try and get ourselves in a position to be promoted. And, you know, we have a number of players that haven't necessarily played as much game time as they would have liked. So we've got those players to consider as well.
How late in the day were those bids, when they became formal bids for your players? Are we talking late in the window?
Some late, some early. You know, as per anything, normally with bids, they come in early and then, you know, it goes back and forth, like any negotiation would go. Some came in later on in the window. So, yeah, so right up until the last day. It was runs from the start of the window and right up to the last day.
So these bigger bids for unnamed players, did people come back with higher valuations? Was there multiple bids for players? Did you knock back several bids?
I think the idea being is also when these bids come in is how we see the player and that we have a valuation of the player as well. And you'd have seen the market where when someone offers it X, what can we actually do with that if we were to reinvest in it? And sometimes, you know, our valuations don't match up, so we can't actually do much with the money that would be offered for that particular player. So yeah, I think we'd always made a clear and conscious effort to try and make sure that if we take our younger players as an example, that we're trying to grow them as part of our long-term plan that I've continually talked about, that the manager's talked about, that the owner's talked about. You know, we want to see them play in our first team. We've, in the last 5 years, and I've been involved in the academy, every year we've lost arguably, you know, our best players to some of the bigger clubs, and that never really allows us to grow the youth part of the club. So we're trying really hard to retain that, and that was one of our objectives at the start of the season. It's not always going to be easy because, you know, there are people circling around that do want our players, but we're definitely trying everything we can to try and keep these players.
How short were they of the valuation? Because you had a valuation
way
in mind. Way off.
Yeah, no, look, we'll always have a valuation. Like I said, I'm not going to put a figure on it because we think these players, and again, we might be slightly biased because we're developing these players and we want them to be it, but we want these players to be part of our plan. And we think if they carry on the pathway they're carrying on, they'll be not only good players for the football club, but they'll be valuable players for the football club. And you only need to see the market, the valuation in some of these players that move from club to club. So from our point of view, it wasn't a plan to sell them in particularly during that window, and it wasn't anywhere near the valuation that we were looking at.
Were the players aware of the bids? I assume they are in this day and age.
I guess, you know, you work in the media, Stuart, so you know what's going on with it. I'm sure they are aware of it. It hasn't come from us, because I said to you before, sometimes, and in particular in and around games, and they came thick and fast during the window, our focus really was on making sure that they're focused on their games and their weekly and daily tasks, which is to train and play games.
Mm-hmm. How close were you to getting one or two in? Because you said there was a couple of deals that you worked very hard on. How close was that to happening, and what in the end prevented it from happening?
I think it was probably like the snowball effect. So we identified, obviously, you know, left-sided defending centre-halves, that type of area. We felt that we needed to have some strength in depth. And obviously we went out with Josh as early as we could in that. But we were identifying players right at the beginning of the window in that. And then other areas, really, we were in kind of a holding pattern, if you want, waiting for the domino effect. Because, you know, the players move from the top end and they tend to move down. And from our point of view, the one or two deals maybe at the top end that didn't go through that would have had a knock-on effect for other clubs. So we're always in that waiting game. And as I said earlier on, it wasn't just about getting any players in. We were really trying to target specific players that, you know, were playing and ready to go so that they can be put straight back in again. I think this time last year when we went through the loans aspect, and I'd said earlier in that window that we were going to try and do the business as early as possible, we got in as players that, you know, did their very utmost for the club at the same time, but they needed to get match fit, and that took quite a long time to get match fit, and that wasn't something we wanted to fall into that trap during this window.
So it wasn't that, it was purely a case that they didn't become available. The players that you felt were going to improve the squad wasn't because you couldn't afford them, wasn't because they didn't want to come here, it's because the domino effect just didn't happen. And
yeah, exactly that. I mean, if you look at most of the opportunities, let's take whether it's midfield or forward players, how many of them moved from the Championship into League One during that window? There isn't many. Mm. And, you know, if we're talking about making squads better than what we currently are, then we've got to aspire to get players that are playing at a higher level. And that's not, you know, it's not an easy process, because they'll be waiting, the club that let them go will be waiting for other reasons, whether they are out of contract, whether they decide they're good enough, not good enough, or whether they're bringing in other players as well. So we were a bit, you know, lower down the pecking order in that situation, and we had to wait for certain things to happen. But unfortunately for us, it didn't happen. So we still believe that we have a strong enough squad that can be up there and competing for the league.
Yeah. Selling Bart, talk me through the thinking and the reasoning behind doing that in January.
Well, it was really an ongoing process with Millwall from the summer. You know, again, it's probably unfair for me to comment on how and what happened during that window with Bart in particular, and with Millwall. We worked very closely with them. We understood that, you know, from Bart's point of view, he wanted to play, continue playing in the Championship. We have a contract with the player, and, you know, we had to work through that, really. And disappointingly, but when the player makes, you know, themselves known that they would like to play at a different football club, then it's quite hard to stop sometimes. So we worked through that process with Millwall, and in the end we got to a reasonable ground from both parts. You know, they had evaluation, we had evaluation, we didn't quite meet it in the first window in the summer, and we managed to try and get there towards this window, where we're at with it.
The critics of that would say that sometimes there can be no room for sentiment, even if a player wants to move, if they were still an asset for you, say Ipswich do go on and get promoted, you've got a good Championship player ready to come back into it who still lives in Ipswich. Sometimes do you have to put your foot down as a club and say, you know, you're still our asset?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, those conversations had happened, but fundamentally, when you're talking to players, you know, that, and I'm not highlighting Bart or any other player from that matter of fact, is that, you know, they've got to want to be here, you know, and they've got to want to be part of what our plan is going forward. And, you know, players' opinions change sometimes, and that's just, you know, part of their process. So it works both ways, I think, from that point of view. We've got to want the player to be here and part of our programme, and they've got to want to be here at the same time.
People will always inevitably look back at the middle of the 14-15 season, Ipswich top of the table, and then not going up that year, and people talk about it was a missed opportunity to strengthen from a position of strength. And when I interviewed Marcus last year, about this time last year, he said sort of he looks back on that window and perhaps a few what ifs, that he sat down with Mick and said, look, is there anything I can do? And they decided between the two of them that they didn't want to imbalance the squad, and that's always something that you have to take into account. Were those similar sort of conversations going on in this month?
Yeah, and it wasn't that we weren't looking to strengthen the squad in the January transfer window. It was about making sure that there were the right players that are available that are actually going to come in and be better than what we've got. Because fundamentally, as you know and everyone else knows, we have a lot of players, and keeping them all happy and keeping the dressing room, you know, in the right way is important, as well as bringing in new players. There was never a conversation that we couldn't do that or we weren't going to do it. It was trying to find the right players that were available and would fit a certain criteria. And when you start to look down those lists, there isn't many, unfortunately, that are available in that window. In general, it always becomes a really difficult window, and that's why a lot of clubs didn't do a lot of business in this window.
Yeah. And I guess the temptation can be, the later it goes on, you do something for the sake of it. You know, you go too far down your list, and you can have a negative effect on your squad. You're just adding an extra number, and that can...
It's a gamble, and you could end up taking a younger player from a bigger club that has not had an opportunity to play at this level, and you never know what the outcome is going to be. Or we can have an opportunity, actually we've got a few that we've developed here over a number of years, and you know, they may well get an opportunity between now and the end of the season if things you know, if the opportunity arises where they can have a go at trying to produce and perform in the first team. And I think for us to try and give that to some of our own players rather than other clubs' players is something we've looked at. You know, I guess it's not like we haven't looked to try and strengthen certain areas. I would also say that, you know, the bigger aim, obviously, to get the club back into the Championship, then you strengthen the squad to be able to deal with that later on down the line. So we've got to be in a situation where we're looking at what we've got, we're assessing what they can do, and the manager's doing that with his teams at the moment. So we can assess, whether it be the end of this season, whether we think players are able to make the next step and so on. But it wasn't a case that we didn't have a conversation with Marcus about what was available and what we could or couldn't do. Those conversations happened.
Yeah, and Bruce brings me on to some of the longer term planning. I guess now the window's shut, the next big thing on your agenda is contracts, looking ahead to this summer. There's a couple in particular that jump off the page, Cole Skuse and Andre Dizel, at different ends of the age scale. Where are you at with those two at the moment?
Yeah, just not even those two as well. In general, this was before the window. We're in constant talks with whether it be the player or the agent about contractual situations. And again, it's about getting the right balance of the financial outlay and obviously the player's ability to want to be part of it. So it goes back to what I was discussing earlier on, really, about the player and the club and making sure we're both on the same pathway. And those conversations go back and forth a lot. It's not the case of picking the phone up and this is the contract, there, you know, you're going to sign it. Those conversations take months. It doesn't happen very easy. You know, Andre, the player that you mentioned there, is a very good young player. He's still developing. You know, he wants to play week in, week out in the first team. You know, he's been, you know, from the age of 16 to what is he, 20 now, 4 years. He seems like he's a more experienced player, but he's still a young player. And Cole's been a servant of the club for a very long time, and you know, so there's two players and their contracts that we're talking about, and we hope to be able to get something done, but they're back and forth conversations that will happen, as well as some other players as well. Yeah. You know, the younger players and some of the other senior players.
We'd like to keep them both in an ideal world.
In an ideal world, that would be, yes, of course we would do. They're good players. They're servants of the club. One being a younger player, and you know, he's done really, really well for us. But he wants to play football, so that's an area that we're going to have to look at. And then the other player is obviously a player of experience that can offer a number of things to the football club. So, but it's got, you know, the things that we put in place has got to be of value to both the football club and to the players.
It sounds like a lot of thought is already going into this summer, the end of this season, and I don't know how difficult that is when you don't know what division the club's going to be in. How much can you do to plan for the for this summer coming up?
It's incredibly different, and I think that's not just our club, that's clubs in general, because you look at then you're investing, and if I take this window as an example, you bring in three or four permanent players and we manage to achieve the next level, which is then it's always, you know, if they're unproven, can they deal with it at that level is the unknown factor. No one knows that until they're put in that situation, but for the club to know where we're at the end of the season and the kind of squad that we put in place is an important part of that, rather than taking, you know, too many gambles in those situations.
Is that part of the contracts delay as well, that you perhaps want to know where you're at before you commit to certain players?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier on, and it's them committing to us as well. It's both ways, because if I take Andre as an example, that he'll want to play football. You know, they don't train every week to go and sit on a bus and sit in a stand and watch the game. So, you know, he'll want games. Cole will want to play games. He's coming to the other end of his career, but he'll want to play every week. So it's about the balance of the two, what we've got coming in, what we can recruit. So there's loads of different conversations that happen, and they have been happening for a number of months. And at the end of the season, it's a better, you know, understanding the economics of what we can and can't do as well is important. And those conversations will probably lead all the way up into the summer.
Yeah, I'll just throw one last one in. Paul always talks about how him and Marcus butt heads, and it's a good, healthy relationship, but there's a bit of to and fro between them, and they come to a bit of a compromise. You must be in on a few of these conversations. Is it a good sort of healthy relationship where they're really sort of testing each other and
Yeah, it is, and I am very fortunate. I sit in those meetings, and you know, the conversations that go on are obviously private conversations, but the challenges that, you know, are both in place. They both want success, and they both want this, and they both want that. Sometimes there's different pathways, and that they have to align those pathways and the timescales that we have to operate that. but they definitely do challenge each other in the right way. You know, and I think, like I said, I'm very unique to sit in those conversations. I'm learning a lot about the dynamics as well. And I think it's important for the football club that everyone does challenge each other, and we're not going to just accept where we are now and where we've come from or what mistakes we've made. We're constantly looking at how we can make those improvements. I've said it a number of times, it's not going to happen overnight. It is going to take a while, and I'm fully aware of that. And there are a lot of staff that aren't in those conversations that are working very hard to try and achieve a common goal, which is to get the club back to where it should be.
Yeah, great. That's a nice note to finish on, Lee. Thanks very much for your time, and much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.